Welcome to audio blog edition of the Drazen Report, however you wish to pronounce it. This is going to be the first of hopefully many audio-only podcasts that I do with my longtime friend Manny, who is my webmaster, video editor. He really set up the blog when it was first trying to get it going and figure out what email service we're going to use and how to plug the ads in. And that ultimately didn't work out, but that was all him. So we finally got him on the show. You probably never heard his voice before. We're just going to see how this goes, see how you like it. See if you want to hear more of me and Manny going at it. We agree on all the big stuff, but we tend to agree on a lot of the details and see things differently kind of at the granular level, which might be interesting because most of these podcasts, it's just two or more white guys that basically agree on everything. And here we're coming from the same place, but we may not agree on everything. So might be a little different, might be fun. Today, the first installment, we're going to talk about this weird rash of food processing facility fires and other disasters. There's been the last few years since we started to come out of the coronavirus. There's been some fires and other technological accidents that have damaged a number of food processing facilities in the United States. I'm not sure how it is for my listeners in Europe, but this is a increasingly talked about issue in the United States. And the problem is I'm not 100% sure to what extent it's real in the sense that it definitely happening, but may have been blown up a little bit on the internet. But we're going to get to the bottom of that. Manny's convinced that there's something there. I know that recently this issue got all the way up to Tucker Carlson, who is one of the top pundits, commentators on Fox News. So if it got that high, he mentioned it. He talked about it for at least a few minutes, then probably something there. The problem is the waters have been muddied a little bit because there's this list going around on the internet of allegedly 98 or 100 of these food processing plants, factories, facilities that have been destroyed in the last 2 years. And when you go into the list and you look down the list, about 60% of the line items of the 100 or so line items are actually mass deaths or mass culls of poultry at poultry farms due to the coronavirus. So and a number of other irrelevant situations. So on this list that's very famous now, being going around the internet, being hyped up by the Michael Snyders and the Zero Hedges of the world, the list is kind of bogus. It's over 60% totally irrelevant to any type of fire or technological accident, but still, Manny's convinced. He's done the research. He follows domestic American news much more closely than I have, and he's convinced there's something there. So without any further intro from me, I'm going to let Manny present on this and what he's found, just kind of an internet search of news pieces and a summary of what's been going on with these fires and disasters. And then we'll talk about it, and I'll come at it from a little bit of the skeptic's perspective, and Manny will defend his position, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, Manny, take it away. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob, and hello, everybody. So as Jacob stated, that I've been the guy behind the scenes a little bit, and I've been very happy to see Jacob be successful here, at least to the point that he's gotten a good steady audience. So in the course of conversations, I often find things. And I pass it on to Jacob, and Jacob being the ultimate skeptic, he'll kind of tear it down. But often he is right in terms that from this, from the point of view that he looks at it a lot deeper than maybe I do the quick glance. But often I also know that I read the local domestic US-based kind of information probably in more detail than he does. He's more focused on international events, at least when it comes to things like this. So, and I think Jacob and I come up from a little bit different viewpoint. So for example, I may say, when I think this is affecting or will affect the economic situation of people's ability to buy, have economic access to food or economical access to foods, et cetera. Jacob is looking, maybe not, I don't want to speak for him, he can weigh in on that, but at least in my conversation, he seems to dismiss when a million chickens are caught in a fire, okay? Because that's something like, well, you know. And I will tell you, you know, Jacob and I come from different points of view as to when it comes to animals and things like that, right? And so Jacob is much more like, you know, kill anything you see, and I'm much more,
I'm kind of violent.
I believe and know that animals are sentient beings. They think, they feel, they have feelings. And I have a long history with animals in that way. So you want to call me kind of a kook that way, that's fine. But at least I'd rather be on the safe side of what's to come in the next world if I cared about God's creatures. Anyway, but when you have a million chickens die in Tampa from a fire, not coronavirus, not from the avian flu, but in a fire. Last week or maybe 10 days ago, there was one in Pennsylvania, I think, where 100,000 died. And I read again, in fires, not, there's always been, there always has been. And in addition to this, and this is a little bit off topic, but related, there's been a rash of chickens or just poultry not being able to produce eggs. Why is this? You know, there is definitely something to this. And I know, going back to Tucker Carlson, I'm not a big viewer of his, but I actually have seen some of the segments where he has had people on where they've talked about, hey, these chickens haven't given eggs in 5 months. Then I changed their feed and they started giving eggs the next day. So when you put everything together, you start wondering what's going on. So back to this discussion, when I think I first raised this to Jacob when I said, hey, Jacob, have you heard about these, you know, these fires or these food processing plants? And he kind of had heard about it. Then I mentioned, you know, he kind of brushed it off saying that, well, you don't know what we normally see over this, you know, these things happen from time to time, et cetera. And then I mentioned, well, you know, there were two planes that went into these two processing plants and they caught fire and they were put out of commission, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, well, I haven't seen that, et cetera, et cetera. So I know that I did send them, I'm guilty of sending him the list of 98, and I kind of just did it quickly. And sure enough, as he read through it, he dismissed a lot of those. But I still maintain that a bunch of those have to do with poultry dying, and all of a sudden you got a million chickens dying, not just from the carnage, of these animals suffering like that. Okay, again, if you don't care about that, but there is a end result to this, right? Where this food is not going to be available to the market. So I know Jacob mentioned Tucker Carlson, and I certainly have a little excerpt there from that, but specifically, Jacob, to your point about the plane. So the Sun Times, or it may just be the Sun, newspaper, I think there might be a British one. There's a headline from explosion chaos at food processing plant fire, plane crash today in Georgia sees chaos unfold at a General Mills factory in Covington. This is from April 22nd, 2022. Okay. Right before that, a couple of weeks before that, actually probably a week before that, another headline, from the Charlotte Observer, plane crashes into Idaho potato and food processing plant, killing the pilot, cops say. Okay, so there's two examples right there within 2 weeks of each other. Of course.
How much damage did they do?
They basically rendered the plant in operation.
In both cases?
In both cases.
Okay, so one case was an Idaho potato plant, and the other case, I think, was a General Mills. Is that right?
Now, I haven't gotten an update in terms of, I remember at the time saying that these were basically, they're going to be either shut down indefinitely or for a period of time. Now, obviously, this is now 8-9 months ago, but nonetheless, I mean, what are the chances of two planes are just going to be going into two different
within 2 weeks? Yeah, that's and now, you know, a little hobbyist planes crash all the time, but not like, you know, into facilities like this, right? They usually go down and over some Alaska glacier or something, or, you know, in the Bermuda Triangle.
Small plane. I don't think we ever discussed it, but I used to have a pilot's license. Right. And I know that people would basically, the number one cause for people for accidents or idiot pilots going up there with not enough gas. Right. I mean, it's like the same idiots are on the road or up in planes. Right. So I totally get that. Right. But it just seems coincidental. So anyway, here's a little excerpt, just a excerpt from the Tucker Carlson show. Trace Gallagher, who is one of his go-to guys for news, he kind of just succinctly tells the news real quick. He said, I'm going to read it really quick. He here says, Fox contributor Trace Gallagher reported this bizarre trend, showing that on average between 2017 and 2019, to your point, there were 6 to 8 such incidents per year at these facilities. That's between 17 and 19. After skipping statistical readings in 2020 due to the coronavirus, this number jumped to 11 in 2021. It's like double what it used to be. But already in the first 4 months of 22, we have had 17 major incidents, Gallagher reported. We're talking fires, chemical leaks, explosions. And in the span of just 1 week, during the safest point in aviation history, we also have had 2 planes that crashed into food plots. Anyway, and a quote.
Okay.
All right. So Tucker Carlson, who is pretty much known to dig into the facts and not report things that cannot be substantiated.
Right. He's also, one of the, for our European and other foreign audience, this guy, whether or not you like Fox, Tucker Carlson is absolutely irreproachable in terms of his research. He does the best research show on television, pretty much, at least from the news perspective. So go ahead, man.
And for the record, we mentioned Fox. For those of you who turn away from Fox, look, I agree. I stopped watching Fox after the election. Okay, Fox has become basically Rhino Light or Rhino Heavy, right? Yeah. But Tucker Carlson is probably the exception. There's some issues.
He's the one exception.
But he's pretty consistent, you know, with most of his beliefs. With most of it, there's some things that he tells the company line, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, there is there's something going on. And what about
full year 22 now? Because you're talking stuff that's like 8-9 months old now.
That is correct. But I didn't do that. We'll have to follow up in a following recording on that. Yeah. But I don't have that because I had a busy day at work. Like Jacob, we both have like a full-time job, so we're trying to have these fact finding as we can. But I will say just anecdotally, Jacob, that I have been following this, and you know that I mentioned this to you even recently, just a few months ago, because the trend has continued. I haven't heard any more.
Well, it's definitely, it's definitely more than 7 or 8 in 22. I know that. I mean, that's obvious, you know.
But what concerns me is the next, now, I mean, look, you can look at it this way. Well, you could talk about disruption of the actual facilities. That's one thing. But what's the end goal? If the end goal is disrupt the food supply, you can do that many ways. Certainly when you have millions of chickens burning in fires, you know, that is not the norm. I'm sorry, it isn't. Look, I do keep track of the animal welfare kind of news. I do, because it's something that interests me, right? I heard some horrendous things during the coronavirus that just, I don't even want to think about it. It was so horrendous, some of the atrocities that happened. But this currently, what's going on with these chickens, at the very least, this is a trend where just millions, plural, are dying in fires. So clearly that would the food supply as well.
Now, I'm just curious. I mean, we know that I don't know exactly, but I've seen the little bits and pieces of, you know, 500,000 chickens put down here, 1 million there. I mean, we know there's been tens of millions of chickens that have been put down, in about the last year, or that have died of the bird flu or being culled to stop the spread of bird flu. I mean, tens of millions. I mean, as far as these fires, I mean, how many are dying in fires as opposed to the bird flu?
That I don't know. I didn't go that deep into the research. I can't.
I mean, it's not helping. It's really not helping. But it may not. May not make much of a difference. And
remember, I forgot the number of cows. When you mentioned a cow's dying, there was a massive amount of cows that died that they attributed to heat in the summer.
It was about 10,000 in Kansas, supposedly, maybe some Nebraska too.
Think about that number of these animals just dying. But obviously, is this the norm? Look, again, I track animal welfare. I do. Yeah. And this is not the norm. This is not the norm.
Well, this is the worst bird flu as far as, poultry farming. This is the worst bird flu ever right now that we've had, the last year and a half. So that's not helping. I'm just wondering, if someone, maybe some secret government agency is putting its finger on the scale and trying to kill a few more million chickens. I mean, is that really making a difference?
Well, I don't know if that's making a difference, Jacob, but what is the connection now? Why is the Purina feed being given to chickens causing eggs, hens not to lay eggs anymore? Why? Is it coincidental as well? I mean, because this is a fact. I mean, this has been noted by Tucker Carlson. He had a segment on it, yeah. And he had multiple people that had local farms. They said that they couldn't get. They had 5-6 months without an egg.
Are they giving like the Pfizer to chickens in their food or something?
I don't think it's that, because when they changed the food to something else that was locally grown, they immediately started laying eggs. Okay. So that coincidence, I mean, this is happening in Canada as well in terms of the chickens. I read a report yesterday that in Canada, there's just a huge shortage of eggs. I mean, it's like a shortage. It's like almost on the endangered species list, right? Like they can't find them anywhere. Well, so what is going on? What is going on? Is this just all coincidental? Now factor in this insane, I'm sure you've heard of this, and this merits its own discussion, this insane topic of trying to feed insects to people, right? I mean, this is beyond disgusting. Natural News, which again, you and I probably have conflicting views with Mike Adams on that, right? Mike Adams is a little bit out there on some things, but one of the things that he does have, he has like a world-class laboratory or lab where he has set up in order to evaluate things. Evaluate vitamins to see if it's got any like foreign substances in it, et cetera, right? So he's got a world class, and he's got a ISO certification at the highest level. So there's indisputable the ability that he has in order to do and to speak to this, right? And he went and got some of these samples of these, cricket flour. If you all don't mind, go check out naturalnews.com. And check out his article on that. It is absolutely just repulsive, right? Like when he just took like some sampling of this latest craze now that they're trying to push crickets onto people. The substances in it, you could see like the cricket heads. It's just repulsive. And yet it's beyond repulsive. Check out that site. It is. This, you can't argue. That's a fact. Okay. Yeah. This is, again, he's got the highest ISO certification for that lab that basically makes it a world-class laboratory. Okay. So what he is putting out there, it's just repulsive. It's showing like little pictures of where like you're eating like the anus of the grasshopper. Yeah. You're seeing like, I mean, it's just,
well,
like,
I guess, and the, So, when you eat hot dogs, that's also pretty good.
For those who are wondering, yeah, he loves animals, but I bet you he eats meat. No, I don't eat meat.
Manny's a vegan. Wait, you're like a vegan. You're a hardcore, right? I mean, you're a.
I will eat eggs if I'm starving, there's nothing else, but just by choice, I avoid it, right? I avoid it because I don't believe that animals should just be put on this planet to basically be grown, grown to be killed. I mean, there's just, that's one thing is that they lead a natural life and then they want to do that. I still don't understand it, but okay. That's your thing. It's not mine, but it's your thing. But when they have kept and just abused and then just killed, that just there's some definitely bad karma with that, right? And I truly believe that the people dying of all these diseases, kind of getting what they deserve in a way. If you're just kind of contributing to that, to that. All right. And I know people will disagree with me. That's fine. You're welcome to disagree. That's my opinion. But regardless, so you got the crickets, you got the insects are trying to force on people, you got these fires and the food processing plants, everything is driving towards this WEF, let's go ahead and have everybody eat that because it's more sustainable. So when you see food that says sustainable, that is one of your little key markers that says, hey, this might have insects in it, right? So make sure you look. No, seriously, this is what they use. I'll be quiet here and let you weigh in, Jacob, because I know I'm kind of passionate about this, but there's something going on here when you put all the pieces together. By itself, a single thing might say, well, but when you have that and you got the eggs and you got the crickets and you got all this stuff kind of just forcing together and you got the demonic WEF out there just kind of just forces onto people. And all these, as we've seen with the corona, all these idiot leaders, these numbskulls over there just following like robots. Is it far-fetched? Who would have believed 3 years ago that we were gone, what we went through, that we were going to force this vaccination on everybody, et cetera, et cetera. So don't underestimate the ability or the desire of people to want to drive to their end conclusion, some kind of agenda to make the public comply. Be quiet.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this Purina. It obviously happened if it was on Tucker's show because, I mean, he doesn't touch anything unless it's very well documented. If you remember, he didn't want to get into the Dominion voting machines during the election because, at the time he wasn't getting a rock solid case. So he didn't touch that. So he won't mess with anything that's not happening. But I don't know what's going on with that chicken feed and wherever it was that he went to. But, I'm still not clear on, we're losing. We've lost tens of millions of poultry, maybe many tens of millions in this country from, either bird flu or culls to prevent the spread of bird flu. And I just don't have any factual basis to say that, a couple of million chickens died in fires, that it's really pushing us over the edge to where eggs are $5 a dozen now. It seems like just in terms of the volume impact, the bird flu is doing a much better job than any human caused or technical disasters at these facilities. Also another thing I'll say is there clearly is, if there's an upswing, a big upswing in fires at other food processing plants that aren't related to poultry. Some of these, I mean, there was a frozen pizza kitchen that burned down, this potato peeling plant. There's some other place, they're different kinds, different types of plants. Right. And, typically, I mean, if you're planning on knocking some economic sector out of function, or you are trying to knock some piece of the supply chain or of the infrastructure out of function to bring everything else down. Let's say the way they were bombing German ball bearing plants during the war, you're going to be focused. There's going to be some rhyme and reason to it where you're not, it's not just a scattershot approach, but you're going to be actually targeting, okay, well, let's target flour mills, or let's target, soybean mills, or something like that. Right. And instead what we have is, we have this scatter plot where it's like, not really like, well, okay, if Klaus Schwab or some baddie is trying to, make our food a lot more expensive, what exactly are they trying to do? Are they aiming for grain? Are they aiming for soy? I don't know. I mean, if they hit a potato place, they hit a pizza kitchen. I mean, what does that really do in a country of this size? You know what I mean? Are you following me?
Oh, I'm following you, but I think what I alluded to earlier might be a rationale, and that is that you said $5 a dozen. I don't know, I live in the Atlanta area, right? And I've seen eggs here as high as $9 a dozen.
Yeah. Wait, for organic or regular?
No, not organic. No, just regular ones. I've seen them as high. God. I'm not saying the average, right?
Oh, okay. They're
more between $5 and $7. Okay. And these are for what they call large eggs, which are really teeny, right? And so it's becoming not affordable for a lot of families. So my suggestion is, with this push with insects, which is this is a big push. I don't know if you're in the dark about this, Jacob, but there is a big push. They're making like nacho chips made with cricket flour. Okay. Which notwithstanding, people who are not just from being repulsive, again, and people are going to say, well, you're eating this and you're eating meat. Yeah. Well, I don't need that, But when you look at what they're trying to do is supplement and replace, because it's sustainable, it's cheap, right? And so all of a sudden for a family that can't afford eggs anymore, as an example, can't afford a lot or chicken, maybe they can come up with some other variations, which has, cricket meat in it or cricket substances in it, right? So when all of a sudden people can't afford things, they're more likely to try different things. And especially if they hide it and then all of a sudden it's a lot cheaper. So I believe there is some of that. Now, what does it do to a country of this size? Well, number one, you can say that about the eggs, right? You can say, well, in order for eggs to go triple what they used to cost or quadruple,
yeah,
we have to have theoretically a 75% reduction in the eggs. Well, that's pretty much where we are. Okay. So when you think that these things are isolated between killing off tons of chickens, then you have the issue with the feed making them unable to lay eggs. All of a sudden you have this situation. So I don't know what the end game is. All I'm saying is there's a push for people to eat this disgusting insects. Okay. And as a source of protein, I was going to say that people who are allergic to shellfish are also allergic to insects because they have shells.
Oh, the chitin, exoskeleton, yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's another thing they're not warning people about, yeah. Right? So people, there's some people who have like severe food allergies, and apparently there have been severe cases of people reacting and didn't even know that that was in there because now it's in that many products. Go to Amazon and check it. If you don't believe me, come check it. Check for cricket flour. There's tons of stuff, right? And they're out there. So I don't know what it is that this requires more research for sure. Wanted to introduce this, and because I know you've kind of been a skeptic in a way, but I also I'm going to maintain that there's no way that the prices of eggs could be what they are without a severe impact to egg production. And the only thing that could cause that is inability to lay hens. And lack of hens.
Well, so, do we know what, how many fowl or how many chickens were there in the U.S. like, I don't know, 2 years ago? I mean, do we know that?
I don't have those numbers. I did try to find some additional, and they varied all over the map. So I don't, we probably have some kind of agriculture news site or news journal or something. Wish I had more time, and I will find the time if the audience feels that this kind of conversation is productive and they feel that it's entertaining, et cetera, we definitely would do. We just wanted to kind of introduce the topic, mainly because, Jacob, I think, like you said, you and I, for the most part, we agree in the major things. Some things we have a little bit different view, but that's, I think, that what makes it our conversation. Jacob and I have frequent dialogues like this on our
show. Yeah, we figured, you know, we talk about it. We like argue on the phone like this, might as well record it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're focusing on the chickens and the eggs. I mean, it seems like we don't really know how much of it is the bird flu and how much is other factors, maybe nefarious, right? So it doesn't seem like it's really hit other sectors, though, of food production, or has it?
Nothing that has been in the news, at least widely publicized.
I mean, obviously there's been, you know, different, okay, they hit this place, they hit that place, but it's not like it's all beef, that beef is going downhill or something, right? I mean, there's none of that, right?
Correct. There's okay. Nothing about that, but I had heard about a lot. Well, all right. So, you know that they're injecting the corona vaccine into beef, right?
You know? That's scary. Yeah. Well, into live beef, right? Yeah. Okay.
Into what? I'm sorry?
Live beef, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So that brings it now to another level, because people who have been trying to avoid it for many reasons now have no choice but to ingest this. Another reason to stay away from it, right? Because right now there's something going on here with the food supply. All I can tell you is I do the grocery shopping for my family. I do, not right. And I notice the things firsthand. I've noticed the empty shelves when it comes to products like flour and things like that. And obviously we know that could be due to the fertilizer.
Still?
Yeah. I mean, when I go to the local Walmart here, there is if you go there the day the truck gets there, and I know I've talked to the people there, then you will find a relatively stock. When I say relatively, it's probably about three quarters normally would be. If you go, and if the truck normally gets there on a Thursday, if you go there on a Saturday, that food is gone. It's gone.
Are people hoarding? I mean, how much are they buying?
Hoarding or not? I mean, I'm not hoarding. I mean, I'll buy a couple of the bags of the organic flour, et cetera. I don't get 10 of them or anything. I don't know what people do.
So ultimately, we don't really, I mean, we can't really say anything. We don't really know anything for sure, other than there is an intent on the part of some World Economic Forum types and some progressives and others to do away with meat, right? I mean, we know that. We've known that for a long time. Everything else, we can't really document. Like, we can't document how much our egg prices up because tens of millions of chickens have and turkeys, et cetera, have died from bird flu or culling, and how much is, you know, that they can't lay eggs or whatever, right? So we don't know that. We know that the powers want to limit meat, right? We know that, you know, and I guess we can try to connect these two different things, and it's kind of speculative, right? I mean, we know the intent. We don't know to what extent that's feeding into what's actually going on in stores, right?
That is correct. So we don't. All you can do is not be dumb about it, and at least be aware that there may be some connections. I truly believe that all these things can't be happening by accidents. Like Steve Bannon says, he says that he doesn't believe in conspiracies, but there are no coincidences, right?
So, yeah, I don't believe in coincidences. Yeah.
Right. Therefore, there maybe the truth is somewhere in between there, right? In the middle. But keeping just an open mind about this, understanding this is, again, you know, people say, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. So far, I'm like running like 98% accurate on the conspiracies that I've right. So I will take that average
over the MSM. So let's say that you know, that there's like those two planes that crashed. Let's say that they were piloted by, you know, like Dr. Evil henchmen, you know, that kind of thing. And
and
all this other stuff. I mean, so who is doing this, right? It's I mean, you and I work for the government, right? And, you know, we respect the mission of our agency. We believe in it. But, you know, government is pretty fucked up, man. I mean, they can't get anything right. You know, I mean, we've got this. They just migrated, you know, the website of our for you people out there that don't work for the U.S. government. It's called TSP, but it's basically a 401k. Or if you're in the UK, like a salary sacrifice pension fund that we're in, right? And so we all have it as government employees. We contribute to it. The government contributes. Anyway, so we were supposed to get these account statements through a website. And they migrated the website. It went from, you know, one company managing it. Well, in fact, one bank managing the assets to another bank. And the website was basically down for like a year. You know, only now are they actually starting to really get the functionality back where you can actually do something on this website. And on top of that, the monthly emails that they're sending out with your account statement, they look like 1998. It's horrible. You know, so the government just can't, you know, they can't do anything right, man. And, you know, even when you have these sharper agencies like the CIA or the NSA, I mean, they're missing stuff all the time. You know, and that's how we get, you know, 911 and ISIS and all that. So who exactly is attacking these food plants? You know, is it some secret society or I don't know, you know, I mean, what's
the answer to that, Jacob, is first of all, keep an eye on the time here because we're about out of time here. But I'll just respond with this. You've seen firsthand when the whole thing happened with COVID. Okay. I mean, do you really think at this point, does the audience believe at this point that this was just a coincidence that happened? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of those people that do believe that. Okay. The whole issue with the vaccine. Look, this has been pretty well orchestrated. When people get together and decide we're going to do this, you're right. Government by itself, individual agencies, the typical bureaucrats that we work with, you're right. They can't fight themselves out of a wet paper bag. I agree with you. They can't.
Hey, you're being too kind to these people. I think you need to be more realistic.
When you look at what's happened over the last few years, who would have really been able to predict that every government in the world, just about, of at least the developed nations, would agree to go along with something as what we've been through, right? In terms of the vaccine, in terms of the COVID response, in terms of how they treated their citizens, et cetera, et cetera. Yet they're-
And they almost all went the same way, you know? Exactly. And yeah, it's just-
Exactly. So there is, and the only common thing to that would be either the World Economic Forum, right? And, or there's the World Health Organization, right? So the bottom line is that somebody is pulling some strings at some level to orchestrate this where every single country did the exact same thing, like they were reading out of a playbook.
All right. Folks, we got cut off. We reached the end of our free Zoom limit, so we'll probably have to subscribe. But yeah, I actually agree with Manny that the whole Corona thing since 2020 or the end of 2019 has been very improbable. I think it's being guided by a higher power as a test to us. I don't think it was a conspiracy by the earthly powers. I think it was more of people were given a choice and everybody made the wrong choice. And I think it was round one and round two is coming. And it's going to be much worse. And it's all coming from on high. That's my position. I know many are much, much more deeper religious guy than I am, but that's my take. So we got to close it out, folks. And this has been sort of just the sort of 1.0 pilot episode of Drazen Report audio blog or audio podcast with my friend and in fact mentor. I used to work for the guy at work for at least for about a year, and Manny. But now my webmaster, video editor, and we're going to try to do more of these where he presents topics and then, you know, we review them and I'll play a bit more of the skeptic. And if you folks out there listening, you have some topic ideas, we're going to post this one on the blog. So just write in the comments, you know, leave a comment or send me an email with some topic suggestions. Manny's a lot more interested in domestic news. And he has a lot more patience for it, domestic American USA news. So if you know, try to keep your ideas to domestic things or at least social policy, even if it's on a global scale. So don't, you know, nothing about what's going on in Donetsk or what's going on in Kiev. So we'll keep that just to the written side of the blog. So thanks a lot, folks, for listening. We'll try to do more of these. Let us know what you think. Thank you so much.